1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Former President Donald Trump's one-time attorney will testify against him today as the criminal hush money trial continues in New York. ABC's Aaron Katursky is outside the courthouse.
This is a courtroom showdown years in the making. Michael Cohen will come here to court, confront a boss he used to idolize. He was once Trump's loyal fixer and lawyer, but now he's going to testify about how he had to make stories about sex disappear so voters wouldn't find out.
Jury selection also begins today in the federal criminal corruption trial of Senator Bob Menendez, a New Jersey Democrat. It's Memorial Day in Israel, where Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu once again vowed to defeat Hamas. He spoke during a ceremony. The UN estimates that over the weekend, 300,000 people fled Rafah as Israeli forces moved deeper into the city. And the Wisconsin Supreme Court set to hear arguments today in a case seeking to reverse a ruling that banned drop boxes for absentee ballots. This is ABC News. Parts of Minnesota and Wisconsin are under air quality alerts this morning as smoke from wildfires burning in western Canada drifts in. The fires made worse by years of drought and below normal snow. Some vigilantes in New Mexico are now in trouble with real cops.
Taking a cue from reality TV, four friends were reaching out to people they suspected of being child predators, setting up meetings and then posting the gotcha moment online.
Now what are you doing here meeting an underage child?
They drew praise from fans on social media, but the problem?
They are holding people against their will, and that is illegal.
What's more, Albuquerque Police Commander Kyle Hartsock says the videos and chat conversations don't hold up in court. Rather than hailing them as heroes, police have charged those four friends with false imprisonment. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
And a bunch of workers at the Vatican Museums are taking the Pope to court. 49 employees are suing over working conditions, vacations, and overtime in a rare public challenge to the way the Vatican's operated. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Don't forget your sunscreen. It's true. You should be protecting your skin year-round, even in Wisconsin. But did you know spring is actually the peak time that you're at risk for getting a sunburn? Here's why. UV rays are more intense in the spring, even before temperatures warm up. And second, it's all due to the angle of the sun. UV radiation strengthens as the sun reaches a more direct angle. This happens throughout May and into June, leading up to the summer solstice on June 21st. A good reminder to be sunny weather ready, even if there's still some springtime cool outside. So slap that sunscreen on. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Environmentalists are in court fighting the Department of Natural Resources over a big factory farm in central Wisconsin. Adam Voskel is with Midwest Environmental Advocates. He says the DNR should have allowed public input on the CAFO's wastewater permit.
We're seeing concerns over CAFOs in western Wisconsin, too, where there have been significant spills and fish kills.
The DNR has a month to respond. The Wisconsin State Patrol is urging drivers and bicyclists to be aware of their surroundings, to share the road, and keep everyone safe. The State Patrol highlights bicycle safety each May. Bicycles are considered vehicles in Wisconsin with the same rights and responsibilities. Last year, 7 bicyclists were killed in crashes in Wisconsin and 699 people were injured. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
It's the Brewers and the Pirates tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a 3-game home series against the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight in Milwaukee. Yesterday, the crew losing to the Cardinals 4-3, missing out on a chance to complete a 4-game sweep. The Cards able to snap a 7-game losing streak thanks to a much-needed home run by veteran Paul Goldschmidt, who has 1-for-34 so far this month. Manager Pat Murphy.
It's hard to beat a major league team 4 times. Any of these 30 major league teams, it's hard to beat them. The day that Goldie breaks out a little bit, hurts us. Koenig did the job we asked him to do, but you got to have more than that. you know, to beat a major league team on any given day.
College basketball, Sundance Wicks is one and done. A year ago, Wicks was an assistant coach at Wyoming, hired by UW Green Bay in his first head coaching job. He turned the program around, winning 15 more games. Over the weekend, Wicks met with Wyoming and emerged as their new men's head basketball coach. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today with an isolated shower or thunderstorm possible this afternoon. Our high right around 67 with wind out of the east at 5 to 15. Tonight, breezy. Our low 43. Tomorrow, sunshine 64. On Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high of 68. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we play another round of three headlines and a lie you can play along at home. And then we talk Harleys this summer with Tim McCormick from the Harley Museum. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Can't get enough of Mino and the Mayor? You can watch the show live right now on Facebook. Search for Mino and the Mayor or WGBW or Oshkosh Air Support and see the entire show unfold right before your eyes. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor, here on a good-looking Monday morning. And today, of course, is the start of Bike to Work Week, something that you're going to acknowledge tomorrow.
I am tomorrow. I want to tell our guests I am doing that now. You guys work in New York, huh?
Good. Peter and Tracy Fluke here. They're getting set to go to New York. Jim's getting set to go six blocks.
Right. And
you guys all have something in common.
And I'm more anxious than they are. So.
Yes. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Good morning.
Well, you guys got a lot on your plate before you head for New York, huh?
You know, it's always that way, right? You're getting ready to go off on a, quote, vacation, but you have your normal life, and it starts to collide with all the preparations. And you asked us if we were packed. Oh, goodness, no. Yeah.
I've seen you've been on our show a couple times, and I just think you are the go-to people for any kind of biking. This is unbelievable to go 1,500 miles to New York City, and I got some questions about where you're gonna park there. But you've gotten in shape even better than the last time I saw you.
Thank you. We've been working out.
They went from 132 to 134 pounds. Yes, very good.
Wow. I'm talking
Peter. She went from 105 to 107.
Yeah. This is something you got to be physically ready for, though. This is a big deal.
Yeah, I think we've said before, but we've met people that, you know, went out one night and decided to bike across the country, and they're in a lot of pain when we see them.
I can imagine. We
just like working out, and it's just we make this part of our daily lives so that no matter what comes up, we can pivot pretty quickly. So we just kind of specify our training to riding to New York.
Yeah. You know, it's funny what you say, because I thought that yesterday, honestly, when I was walking around, because I've been trying to get about 7,000 steps a day. Okay.
Nice.
Which is,
And yesterday was my third day in a row doing it. And I was by the cathedral. I was thinking, this isn't as much fun as that. And it's like, you really do need to have something that you enjoy or you're not going to do it. And it's like, that's why I really want to start bike, because I love it. I enjoy that feeling of it versus just walking. And if I was up in the woods, I could hike all day or do whatever, you know what I mean? But when you're just walking on sidewalks, it's kind of drudgery, let's be honest. Isn't it, though?
It really is. I mean, it's nice to walk somewhere like the woods, right, you said. But biking is cool because you're moving a little bit faster than walking. You can go farther and you see things more, I think.
Absolutely.
You know, but you're right in it, too. So, biking is an adventure.
Before we get to the trip, what kind of stuff? I mean, it's got to be a lot of cardio. And then legs. What do you have a routine?
We do. So typically, we've done like a 7-day training plan. So that involves cardio, weightlifting, flexibility, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But we went to 10 this year because that gave us a little bit more time off. So we take 2 days off in 10. We alternate between those. As I've gotten a little bit older, I can't lift every other day. So I go to every third day and you just kind of work it out.
You got to start taking 2 days off every 10.
That's my problem.
You got to start. You're burning it too much.
7 days a week off.
Well, talk about tomorrow. What an exciting thing you guys are involved with tomorrow.
Yeah, the pedal to the draft is tomorrow. So there'll be a ceremonial football coming across on the ferry into Milwaukee. And then it will be handed off to the governor. And there's a small group of bicyclists that will be biking the football up to Green Bay. And then
just the football's coming from Detroit.
Yes. Yeah. The football's from Detroit.
It went from Las Vegas to Kansas City to Detroit. Now it's like the Olympic trophy, or the Olympic torch. Right, torch. That's what I meant.
Exactly. Right. The same type of thing. So, yeah, it'll come across the ferry from Detroit area, and then it'll come across, and then we'll, with a small group of bicyclists, bike up to Green Bay. At about 6 o'clock, they're asking for the biking kids that are involved with the Packers to meet on Armed Forces. And then they will finish the ride with us into Lambeau Field. And at approximately 6:30, they will have the countdown timer and a press conference starting. And so we're very excited to be involved in
that. I'll bet. Absolutely.
So. Yeah. Read that front page of the paper today. So that's very cool. This is going to be a big deal. I don't know about every day, but for sure every week there's going to be something. And I know they got that clock going. And I think it's really cool that they are starting with, you know, the torch or whatever, the football. Yep. I think that's really neat. But I think what's even better than that is they're bringing these kids in right away, you know? And that's been a tradition here for,
forever.
That's very cool. And then, so you guys are going to bike from Armed Forces Drive into the stadium.
Yep.
And then, is there a little program or something, do you know? Or?
Yes, there will be, in the atrium area, they will have a press conference, and then they will start the countdown timer for the draft in 2025.
On the clock.
Awesome. Yeah.
On the clock.
Yep.
So New York, once again, what's your route to New York?
So generically, we're going to go from here in Green Bay down to Chicago.
Okay, now how do you even do that? What are you on? What back roads? You're not going down the highway, obviously, 41 or 43, right?
Right. Nope. So in honor to my wife here, who's the president of the Friends of the Fox River Trail, we're going to be literally leaving town on the Fox River Trail. We've done, three or four major cross-country trips, and couple of them have been on the trail because that's literally the best way to get out of town. From there, we'll go down to Greenleaf and up and over the ledge, and we'll stop at Whitelaw because that's the only water between here and Manitowoc, basically. And then we'll follow the lakefront pretty much all the way down to Chicago.
So is there a trail from here to Whitelaw?
No, isn't.
We'll so then you get roads. On the side roads.
County roads, yeah.
County roads, okay.
Yep. Honestly, the county roads back out there, I mean, it's like being on a giant bike trail because there just aren't any cars. You know, it's an occasional farmer that goes by.
Right.
And they all wave and smile. And
although I'm not a fan of Highway 10 if you have to take Highway 10.
No, we avoid 10.
Yes.
Okay.
Avoid
10. You too do. Yeah. I agree with that.
Then what is it along the lake to get? And I want to ask about, I know we jumped off Milwaukee, but from Milwaukee here, I take it's the same trail. There's a trail that goes along. I know Manitowoc has done a really good job.
Yes, Manitowoc has a great trail between two rivers.
Oh, yeah.
Maritime Trail. We'll go towards Manitowoc and then down to Sheboygan. And then their interurban trail starts out of Sheboygan, which is a great trail. And that'll...
You call it an urban trail?
Interurban trail.
Interurban.
Yep. And that'll go all the way into Milwaukee, basically. Our second night, we'll stay in the Whitefish Bay area. And then we'll get on the Oakleaf Trail. And that'll take us, you know, kind of through Milwaukee. And then there's the Lakefront Trail from downtown Chicago that we'll hop on once we get a little further to the south. But
that would take for when are you going to get to New York? Like next year sometime? You're going to be back for the draft?
Well, it's approximately 1,500 miles.
Yeah, that's...
And we go, I don't know, roughly 60 miles a day, 6 days a week. So, you know, it'll get us there 30 days, roughly, depending on, you know, at this time of the year, we'll probably have a little bit of tailwind most of the time. So we may get there a little bit sooner. And depending on how much time we spend in New York, we may actually head over to Washington, D.C. We're taking the train back, and we can either take the train back from New York City or Washington, D.C.
How do you have a trailing car? Does anybody follow with? No. OK.
I was just going to ask that.
How do you pack everything for a month on a bike?
Yeah, and what about repairs too? Just tell us about that.
So the bike we have is
I just want to say that John and I are going to Pulaski. We are very nervous about it. We got to get we got the trailing car already. No, it's not Pulaski. We're going to
Shawano.
We're going to Shawano, and we got to pack. We got to get the food. The can.
RV.
The RV. The bars. Anyway, go ahead.
So you're bleep.
Yeah, we're very nervous about it. But you're going to New York, a 30-day trip.
Yep.
The tandem we have is designed to be field strip. So it's made for touring. So everything on that bike, almost, I can repair with a toolkit that's about the size of my hand.
Really?
The only problem is we always joke that don't take anything with you you don't know how to use because it's just extra weight, right?
Right.
I guess you could hope somebody came along and knew how to use it. But pretty much we've taken the whole bike apart, put it back together lots of times. So we carry a couple of spare tires with us. Sometimes those can be hard to find on the road.
Yeah. Or an air pump. Do you carry an air pump then with you?
Yep, we do. Yeah. We have a mini pump with us that'll do, you know, 130 pounds of pressure or whatever it is that goes in there. So
do you ever get flat tires?
Oh, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, occasionally. We tend to get more on the back. Okay. The front wheel tends to kick up debris, and then it'll catch the back. The newer the tire is, the fewer punctures you get. There's just more rubber. So as they wear, we get about 1,500 miles out of that back tire. So, you know, we have two extra tires with us. So it's nice to be able to have them and change them. I don't think we've ever gotten in a position where there wasn't something that we couldn't fix. Takes me a while.
Do you have a publicist? I mean, are you going to be greeted at these communities? Or, I mean, you're in politics. You still are. I mean, yes. Tracy, yep.
You know, we on our Route 66 trip, we did have someone putting out a bubble ahead of us, a PR person. So then we had a lot of more media, and we'd come into town, and they'd maybe interview us and ask where we're going and all of that. But this one, we will not. We'll just be cruising along and
just our own social media. Posting, you know, kind of whenever I feel like it on Instagram and Facebook, and then we'll be doing a blog every night. And then we alternate doing the blog because it's a fair amount of work. And, you know, one of us usually does laundry and takes care of the bike and goes and finds food. And the other one works on the blog. So,
do you have a tent? What do you do for lodging for the 30 days?
We combination of tent camping and hotel motel. And then there's an organization, John, and we were talking about a little bit called Warm Showers.
Yeah.
It's an online community for cross country or long distance cyclists. And we can reach out ahead and say, if we're coming into Chicago, for instance, and say, look who's there and who does warm showers, and say, hey, can you host us on Thursday?
It's quite the biking family, huh?
Cycling exactly. Family. Yep. And then in turn, when we're home, we host people. We just hosted a gentleman from the Chicago area recently at our house. So, yeah, it's a great thing.
We got to find one of them before we go,
Shauna.
Yeah,
we need one of those. We got a lot of work to do.
We got to find one of those. We need one in Suamico. We need one in Pulaski.
We need those people, the warm shower. Warm shower in Pulaski. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be a five-day trip. About
3-4 showers on the way up there. Yeah.
I thought you were going to just see the stubborn brother.
A sauna.
So you're husband and wife, happily married. Do you
come off the trip happily married?
I was just saying, there's got to be some, like, I'm not doing this today. I'm taking today off. And, come on, honey, we got to keep going, or vice versa.
The bike's a real interesting analogy for that, because you sort of live and die all day long, right? You get a big hill. You're like, God, why am I here? You come zipping down the backside. You feel pretty great. You see something cool, or you go to a neat place, or you have a really good conversation. But at the end of the day, we're always, always glad that we went for the ride. And that's, you know, the marriage thing too, right? I mean, Tracy was not feeling it this morning, and therefore neither was I, and got some tea in her, and, you know, we kind of figured out where we were both at, and then we were good.
You got a text here. Do they use a trailer behind your bike?
We do not. We carry about 50 pounds of gear on our bikes. We have two big bags on the back of the bike by me, and then two smaller bags on the front. A lot of people do use trailers.
So we're talking with Tracy and Peter Flukey, and you guys are the gurus of biking. You have a tandem bike that you spend, you know, quite a bit of money on, but you've also gotten your money out of it. I mean, you've been Route 66, and you're going to New York on Thursday. Is there like a send off party, or you're going later in the day? Because else we'd have you, you know, we'd like to
ceremonial
right here in front of our window.
Yeah. We're going to leave about 8 in the morning, and we've asked people they can either start at our house with us, or they can meet us on the trail just under the bridge in De Pere.
Yes.
And then we're going to head south.
Is anybody going with you?
No.
Oh, just
not that we know of yet. So maybe some people will show up.
That is so. Yeah.
Could go visit your daughter. I could visit my daughter. What do you think?
There you go.
I'm flying.
You and me in a tandem.
I got enough miles.
I'll
tell
you what, I'll let you ride the handlebars.
We have an extra tandem for you. So.
I'll see you.
Listen, we got to set a quick break. Tracy and Peter, Daryl Burnett will be joining us from the Automobile Museum. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
The road construction season is underway, and you've probably noticed orange cones and barrels are back too. The world's leading manufacturer of these safety products is Lakeside Plastics. The family-owned business is based in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Do you know why the cones were originally created more than 75 years ago? As a safety marker to keep drivers away from newly painted lines on the road, as an object for drivers to weave around to mark the tops of houses for small airplane pilots. The answer's coming up.
Message that we can get out. We need to have a safe work zone.
Safety is number one for Eric Gwitt. He's the I-41 project supervisor for the work between DePere and Appleton, where you'll be seeing a lot of those orange cones. Did you guess why the cones were originally created? To keep drivers away from wet paint lines on the road. Now, cones like those made at Lakeside Plastics in Oshkosh warn about any kinds of hazards ahead. That is one safe slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hey, welcome back. Mind of the Mayor here, and a good looking Monday morning with Peter and Tracy Flukey, getting set to bike cross country to New York City. So, okay, you guys took us down to Chicago, and then what did you cut, like Indiana, Ohio?
Sure, we'll hook around the bottom of the lake. We're through the middle of Indiana, through the middle of Ohio, and then we'll do the entire length of Pennsylvania. That'll be interesting because those mountains on the eastern side of PA can get pretty intense. They tend to be fairly short, but they're steep.
Isn't that where the Appalachian Trail goes through?
Oh, yeah. So there's a lot. And if you look at the map, you can see all the greens and browns of the topography. And it's like, you know, you just put your head down and take them one hill at a time.
Yeah. Because I forgot to watch a movie. I was thinking about you. So it was with, it's probably about 15 years old, 10 or 15. But it's Robert Redford and Nick Nolte. And Robert Redford was this writer, and he was, I want to say, like 60. And he's like, and he lived in like Vermont. And he's like, you know what I want to do? I want to walk the entire Appalachian Trail before I die type thing. So he got his buddy, Nick Nolte, and they kind of did it. But they were, did you ever see that movie? But and I could do that.
No, we couldn't.
But there anyway, was a guy what I'm saying is.
We had a guy on here who did the trail.
Mike Musil, good friend of mine.
Oh, yeah,
but
great.
He talked about those hills, and even this movie, right. That was like the worst part was Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Those areas.
I mean, we've done Vermont, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
We've also done the Sierras and the Cascades. Out in the west, the mountains are very, very long, but the grades are more shallow. So, you know, you're just slogging it out for 6.5 hours. But some of these other ones may only take an hour to get up, but you're using...
Grueling.
Literally using everything you got.
And what about the weather? Do you call Brittany every day, or how do you?
Yes.
What do you do on the weather forecast? Because that
does it ever shut you down?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
it does.
Lightning, especially, right?
Yes, yeah, that's.
I don't do lightning.
Yeah, right. Not a good lightning.
Or should
guy.
You?
Yeah.
Right.
If it's raining, we still go because if you didn't go when it's raining, you'd never get anywhere. Really, lightning is the one thing. If it's a bad thunderstorm, we'll just sit it out until it goes through.
And you never go at night, right? It's always during the day.
So we get up early and get going early, so we have that extra time at the end of the day, and we don't ride at night at all.
Okay, I got to ask this, though, because I remember when I was a kid, we had this theory that you could never get struck by lightning if you're on your bike because of the rubber tires. Is that true?
So I used to be a park ranger, and that occupation is the number one lightning strike occupation. So I think lightning will hit you no matter what.
Right.
So,
oh, okay.
You know, when the kids are playing soccer and there's a little rumble in the distance, where's dad? He's in the car.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, I found, oh my gosh, I was watching a thing. It's on the internet on the most perfect job for me of all time. Listen, Jim, listen, I want to look for one of these jobs. I want to say it was in like New Hampshire, one of those places.
Nice.
Up in the fire towers. Oh, wasn't that beautiful. Seems so great.
What do you do?
Watch for fires.
Yeah, you're a fire spotter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now the only thing is John would have to learn how to use the equipment to triangulate where the fire actually was. Can you imagine a whole fire crew following John's direction where the fire actually is supposed to be?
It's over there. Yeah.
Wow.
You said it was to the southwest. Yeah. That's the northeast. Okay.
All right. Whatever you say.
Whatever. Look for the smoke.
No joke, though. The weather is something that we pay a lot of attention to. I'm checking it, you know, constantly through the day because just which way the wind is blowing makes a huge difference on how quickly we'll be there, how much energy we have. You know, it might make the difference between doing a 60-mile day and doing 100 or even more miles in a day. all things being equal, except for the wind.
Got a text here. Could you share their social media information?
Right.
So I know where I can find them. We'll also be sharing their posts on our social media. So could you give a little something where people can follow you guys?
The easiest way is just to go to our webpage, which is webike.org. There's a link to the blog there. Our social media, you can use Peter Fluke, and the last name is Fluke, and that would be for Facebook. And then at WeBikeETC, WeBikeETC for Instagram.
Okay, and we'll put all this on our Facebook then, huh, Todd?
But Todd will take care of that. WeBike.org will get us to all those things you just said.
It will.
Yes. Okay, all right, that's cool. Yeah. I think you're going to have a lot of followers on this because this is pretty exciting. Hey, so the route, I mean, there's everybody takes the highway, but if we're driving, but were there options or is there a dedicated bike? And then how did you choose the route?
Yeah, is there like a nationwide, almost like map for bikers?
Right.
Yes. There's an organization called Adventure Cycling. Okay. And they do maps for biking across the country, even other countries.
Oh, wow.
And you can get the maps from them and you just follow them. And sometimes you're on trails.
Do you have a GPS when you do this?
You can do both.
Okay.
We have paper maps with us, but you can also just download it into your smart, bike computer. We do both. But then if we're off route, sometimes there's a bike museum I want to see in Ohio. So then we'll be navigating on our own to do that.
I think this is really, really cool what you're doing. Tracy, you said you hadn't been in New York. So that's like almost a treat for you because that is like, there's nothing like New York, right? I mean, people say there is, but there isn't. and I hope you guys, when you get there, I'm sure you're going to embrace New York, the cathedral, go to the M&M factory, see a little theater. Hey, that's a cool place. Get some M&M's made. Yeah, Tracy.
Absolutely.
Okay. But anyway.
That'd be cool.
I'm going to the Big Apple. I'm going to New York City. What are you going to do? I'm going to the M&M factory.
Why not?
I'm going to buy some.
It's two stories.
Yeah.
Hey, but where do you...
quick question here, Jim. Do you switch off who rides front and back? It's a good question.
We do not when the bike is loaded because it's a little harder to steer in the front with all that extra weight on it. I have captained it. I've been in the front when it is not loaded. But typically, Peter is the one that's
okay. He's the captain.
He's the captain.
All right. And yep. So what the M&Ms will give you some energy. What do you do for food? That's got to be expensive if you go out to eat all the time.
We carry like two dinner type meals with us. So they're the dehydrated like backpacker ones. So in case we just need something. And then just snacks throughout the day. But we always stop for lunch at a restaurant. And then in the evening, if we're camping, we'll maybe stop at a convenience store before we get to the campground and then cook our meal. Otherwise, like you said, we would go out to dinner.
Do you weigh yourself the morning you start and then the morning you get back?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes. And tell me the variations.
Yeah. So on our first cross-country trip, and we weren't quite dialed in as well with our nutrition. I mean, we eat well and things, but it was so extreme that marathon weight for me is typically about 163 pounds. And during the trip, when I hit 158, I started getting a little worried because that's starting to get pretty extreme. So now we've learned some things about our nutrition. We're better at making sure we get a lot of protein at the end of the day. Yep. We supercharge all of our food. I mean, it's just hard to get that many calories in. So the oatmeal has nuts and berries and honey. And I know people that actually carry bottles of olive oil with them because it's so intense on calories that they'll just squirt it literally on anything to try to get, more.
That's all I use is olive oil. Now I know what the problem is.
What's the part of the equation we're missing here? It's the biking extreme.
So Tracy, you had a little bit of an injury, but you're all good now, or are you worried about that?
A little bit. I have a torn labrum in my shoulder.
Right.
But my trainer's like, go for it, Trace. And the good thing is where I am on the bike and how I sit, it doesn't irritate my shoulder. It's the reaching back and stuff that it hurts my shoulder. So hopefully I'll be fine. And
I think I've got the exact same thing. Remember I told you from my deer camp
about him.
With the log splitter. Could not get the log splitter to work.
Yeah.
It must have pulled it like 30 times.
9 years
since
ago.
Since then. It was last fall, Jim.
Okay.
And since then, I've got this pain right here. Where's your pain?
See that?
Oh my God! Look at that.
It's identical. And you guys you look like each other. Oh my God. Hey, okay. I want to get into that. So that injury stuff. You don't complain. It doesn't seem like you're a complainer to me. You're just going to tough through it. But do you talk the way, or do you have headphones? Do you listen to podcasts? What do you do for that six, 7 hours? Oh, we're going to get going. Okay. Man, this is going to be so much fun. Tracy and Peter Fluke. biking to New York City, leaving Thursday from the Fox River Trail right under the bridge in the city of DePere. Wish them well. They're going to blog every day. We can follow them on webike.org.
Stay in touch with us, okay?
Good luck,
guys.
We will.
God bless.
Thanks, guys.
This is awesome.
Thank you.
Back after this.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It may not be something you're thinking about now, but it should be. Tar Spot in Corn. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. DeKalb is taking a closer look at tar spot and trying to figure out what they can do to protect producers and their fields from its infection. Jim Donnelly is a technical agronomist with DeKalb and says whether you've had it or not, you still need to be on the lookout for it.
You are, I would say, if you are in a region that, that has had tar spot, you are certainly with pretty good odds that you'll see it, in the upcoming years. If you're in, some of those marginal areas that, have not seen it, obviously your risk isn't as high, but if your neighbors or if you or your neighbors have had it, the likelihood of you seeing it next year at some level or another is pretty high.
Jim Donnelly, technical agronomist with DeKalb, says right now they've got test plots in the Janesville area working on genetic management against tar spot for the future. Markets in overnight electronic trade on a Monday morning. Everything a little bit lower. Numbers are next.
Over time, you want to work less of it, so you need your crop protection to work more of it. When you add Tapperan or Last Chance Pro adjuvants from CHS, they will. Designed for maximum efficacy, Last Chance Pro improves the uptake and translocation of herbicides, while Tapperan helps activate herbicides for better performance against tough-to-control weeds. Ask your local CHS retailer how Tapperan and Last Chance Pro adjuvants can put your crop protection to work.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
On Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese finished the week unchanged at 191 1/4. 40-pound block cheese was unchanged at 198. Double A butter dropped 0.75 cents to 2.99 a pound. The Class 3 June milk that goes into cheese up 4 cents right now at 20.55. July milk's up a nickel at 19.95. Everything else is in red ink. December new crop corn down 3.5. 488. November new crop beans down 1¼ at 1204. July new crop wheat right now down 1¢ at 662 a bushel. So just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand rolling into a Monday trade session. As always, we encourage you to follow us on social media. Check out our new Facebook page, Midwest Farm Report. I'm Farm Director Pam Yankee.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today with an isolated shower or thunderstorm possible this afternoon. Our high right around 67 with wind out of the east at 5 to 15. Tonight, breezy. Our low 43. Tomorrow, sunshine 64. On Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high of 68. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103.
Yes.
Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
So I have super parallel parking skills. And on the east side where I live, I will often sit on my front porch and like a play-by-play call as if it was a sport. Parallel parking to me is a sport. I'm the Stephen A. Smith of parallel parking. That should go on a t-shirt. We'll get you one made. Oh, my gosh.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back and a good looking Monday morning here. 53 in Green Bay, 57 in Appleton, 59 in Oshkosh. You're listening to 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 FM WISS, and of course the Civic Media app. Best of luck to Peter and Tracy Flukey on their trip to New York City on the tandem bike. And tomorrow they're helping drop off the football for the official start of the clock for the NFL draft.
They are so involved, and that, but they are the people you think of, though, when you think of biking, don't you? I mean, they've been in Montana, they've been on Route 66, they've been all over. That trip to New York is going to be interesting, and really, I would encourage people to follow them, right? It's so easy to, you know, webike.com and follow them. And
I would like to do that, but Daryl here told me he's going to loan me whatever car I wanted from the Automobile Museum.
I'm taking one of those Italian cars.
Something like that.
That Lamborghini.
Yeah,
caught
my
eye.
Whatever I want. Hey, Daryl.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
What's
in honor
going on
of Peter and Tracy, we're going to have an authentic Ferrari bicycle that was actually ridden by the Ferrari Formula One team at races.
Really?
Wow.
We go out of our way.
That's just for you guys.
Cool.
Look, I like it.
Live over there, and I see you've always got activities going on. This Italian thing is going to be big, though. I mean, you've done this before, but this is really something special.
It really is. You know, we are spanning 9 decades of Italian cars.
Wow.
So in addition to coming to the gallery and seeing our normal collection, we're filling the building, we're filling the patio area outside, and we're blocking off Washington Street. And $15 gets you all the Belgioso cheese you can eat. We have Sarah's Gelato. We have Ole's wood-fired pizza. Stop me anytime you
Here's where I'm going to stop you. Congratulations on shutting down Washington Street, because the former mayor couldn't get it shut down for our big thing we were trying to do. You did get it shut down. He could not.
I didn't want to open old wounds.
There's John's telling you part of the story. But anyway, hey, the Lamborghinis, those aren't around here. Where'd you get them?
Well, we scour the country. I should say I scour the country. And the wonderful thing about putting this together is when people find out what we're trying to do and what we're trying to be, I'm bringing a Ferrari in from College Station, Texas, not charging us a dime. Bringing in cars, Alfa Romeos from South Carolina. But also, to your point, there are a lot of these type vehicles hidden throughout Northeastern Wisconsin and surrounding states. And again, when they find out what we're trying to do, how we're trying to honor the Italian heritage and the Italian cars, they have been so gracious in coming on board with us.
That's awesome. Yeah, John's always looking for a job, as am I. If you ever need a driver to bring one of those cars up or back, I'm your guy.
It will get here in a hurry.
Especially a Lamborghini.
Well, speaking of getting here in a hurry, we start with a 1936 Fiat Topolino. If you all saw Roman Holiday in those movies, there are those little cars that pop around Italy. 13 horsepower. On the other end of the spectrum, a 2024 Lamborghini, I should say Ferrari SF90, just off the truck last Friday, 986 horsepower right out of the factory. How's that?
Wow. So what's the price tag on that? You must have
over $1 million.
Yeah.
I counted up the other day.
You can't wait.
Just out of curiosity, I'm thinking somewhere around $70 million of vehicles coming in for Saturday.
So that's coming up this Saturday. 18th, Festa Italiana at the Automobile Museum. You know, I told Jim, he knows, I do a lot of walking around here. I just like walking past your place and like window shopping and looking in the cool stuff you got in there. I think that's really cool.
Well, I was just slipping on Lamborghini there because in my mind I was thinking we have at least 5 2022 to 2023 Lamborghini Huracans coming in. The one you saw on your list there is the oldest, just a 1969 Lamborghini Islero. I've never seen one before in my life before I made this connection. But that's what we try to do, is bring things in. So I call it
that
more
people wouldn't normally see.
That's right. Yeah. I call it more of an art show than a car show.
And it's, again, you know, I've been to your museum many times, and I just think growing up in the United States, you just love cars. You know, and we've got, you know, we got the system to drive. I just, these people who think they're going to go by the wayside and it's going to be all transit like Europe. I mean, it's too spread out. And people love driving. They love their cars. I mean, I'm one of those people. And
have you ever taken one on the Autobahn?
Yes. I've been on the Autobahn. I didn't drive on it. No.
I was on it once.
Oh,
I was over on assignment back in my television days. And I was driving 90 in an Audi. Yeah. And there were cars just blowing by me on the Autobahn.
But so why there? And the thing that people, that I really believe, is as long as you're traveling at the same speed, it's very, very
safe. Right. Yeah.
So, you know, if it's 110, 120, I'm okay with that.
And here's the other thing about the Autobahn. It's not the same roads we have over here. When they put those in, the thickness of those highways is several feet. Right. So you're not hitting potholes you know, at 115, 120 miles an hour.
Yeah. So this Italian, and I think that's really cool that you're tying in some of the Italian businesses of Greater Green Bay to support this. This is also, they're big racers too, aren't they? I mean, these Italians, when you read these formula. And—
oh, yes. In fact, that really triggers one of the most exciting elements in my entire automobile career. We're bringing in a 1953 Ferrari 166 Mille Miglia. Now, translated, this car was specially built for the famous Mille Miglia 1,000-mile race back in 1953. Luigi Piotti and Bruno Franzoni, two nice Italians, finished 24th out of the 481 cars that started that race. And there's only six ever made. We have one of the six. And you were asking before about the Lamborghini and the Ferrari, how much it would cost. This one, if it were to go to auction, would probably be in the $10 to $12 million range.
Oh, my Lord. Wow. Well, tell us more about the Festa part.
Oh, how does it work? It's the 18th.
It's coming up this Saturday, at the 18th. And to your point, this is Italian themed from beginning to end. So you come in, you stroll among the cars. We have several booths, and instead of having a vendor area, and I never like just having a vendor area, we're sprinkling all of our booths and individuals among the cars so that as you stroll, you can stop and have a conversation. You can stop and have some food. It's just going to be 4 hours of absolute relaxation and fun.
Outstanding.
So we are here with Danny Burnetti. Oh, I mean, Daryl Burnett.
I'll take that name.
The executive director of the Automobile Gallery and Events Center. And many of us have been there, right across the street from Captain's Walk, downtown on Washington Street. And they're featuring, this is an unbelievable show, over like $70 million of Italian cars are going to be on display this coming Saturday. What time does that start again?
Starts at 2 o'clock on Saturday, goes till 6 o'clock. So you have time to go out and do your yard work.
Right.
Have time to go out for dinner afterwards, and we strategically plan it that way because we want to be part of your weekend. We don't want to fill your entire weekend. Yeah. That way it makes it easy for everyone. Oh. And this is 100% for charity. This helps fund the programs that we do. And thanks to our great sponsors, Sammy's Pizza is on board with us, and Belgio's I mentioned before. They're just some great sponsors who have come on board.
We had some cheese at the Art Garage the other night.
What's that?
Oh, was that good?
Oh, man.
The Belgioso cheese.
I mean, that guy does it right.
That was amazing.
He's does so much for this community.
Hey, Darryl, I have to ask this. What's the missing link that you're still trying to find out there that you'd love to bring to Green Bay? Because I used to watch Jay Leno's show, and he'd go to, like, Australia and find a car in a garage in the middle of the jungle type thing and say, but it's this one type of car. You remember that? And
he was. Oh, yeah.
And actually, it's one of those cars that he got burnt up on then.
Right.
The fueling.
Yeah. Right.
But anyway, do you have one that it's like, I'm trying to find one of them and bring it here?
As far as our collection is concerned, there's one that I would really love to get, and that is a Tucker. Those only 50 were made.
I remember the movie.
That's right. And on the American side, it would be a Tucker. On the Italian side, I'd love to have an old Bugatti, like a Pebble Beach winning 1930s, 1940s Bugatti. but I'm not complaining about the 70 mil that we have coming this weekend.
Wow.
This is cool. What are some of your other themes coming up down the road?
Well, we have our Red Lewis Cars and Guitars car show coming up on June 15th. That's the Saturday of Father's Day weekend. So immediately, and I mean immediately after this show ends on Saturday, our thoughts pour into the Red Lewis Cars and Guitars show, and it's going to be bigger and better than ever. We've expanded a block and a half farther down to the entrance of St. Brendan's, so we'll be knocking on the door of the farmer's market, and we're hoping to accommodate at least 500 cars this year, which would be an all-time record.
And, you know, that's one thing we always talk about. Somehow we come back to this, and like we said, tomorrow we're on the clock. Packer draft, I'm sure you guys have some awesome displays you're going to have for that, huh?
Yes, and I probably shouldn't say anything,
right,
but there's something to do with the Green Bay Packers that is happening this Friday at the Automobile Gallery and Event Center, and I'll have to leave you with that tease because it's always our policy not to talk about private events.
Okay.
So I won't, but yeah, if you happen by the gallery that day, you might see some faces you might recognize.
All right.
That'd be great. Hey, super. This... how do you go about, I mean, right, everybody, Italian cars, Lamborghini, Ferraris, I mean, I think everybody knows. How do you start? Like, where do you put an ad out, or do you know, you have contacts? Are you a car guy?
Big time. And I started with a blank sheet of paper. When I came up with this concept a little over a year ago for this Italian festival, I started thinking about, okay, what do we do? How do we put it together? And I just started calling friends, and I brought in a friend with his 1964 Ferrari Lusso from New York. New York City didn't charge us a dime, and when we landed that car, the floodgates opened, because if this car is coming,
yeah,
I'm good enough to bring my car. And we ended up with about 105 vehicles last year. We curated 125 this year. Now, curated. So that's how many total showed up last year. If we add another 25, 50 this year, we're going to have an incredible show. And it's already been called by the Ferrari Club of North America one of the finest events. And I'm not counting anything before it happens, but they're talking about putting us on their calendar for next year,
which
will be a huge boost for us.
How do people get tickets?
They can get tickets at the door Saturday, $15. They can go online, theautomobilegallery.org, or they can give us a call at 920-437-9024. So any way you want to get tickets, you're going to walk away with more in your pocket than you shelled out to get to the event.
That seems awesome. Like a really good deal.
Yeah, it does. No,
because we want everyone to have access. These cars in this configuration will never be seen anywhere in the world ever again.
Wow.
Yeah. That is going to be fun. And, of course, the Automobile Gallery, which is, you know, right down here on Adams Street. I said Washington, but that's like the outdoor event.
You're on both sides, Washington and Adams Street.
I'm never quite sure what's the entrance and what's the back. Yeah.
The automobilegallery.org. And, you know, Daryl Burnett's executive director there. And this
perfect
is
perfect job for you.
It is.
Oh, it is.
And this is, you've got a lot of cool things that have happened there. You got a lot of fundraisers. Daddy D Productions plays there. I mean, what did you say? You have 200 events there a year?
200 events a year.
That's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. That's keeping you busy, because once you shut down, you're off to the next one, which is probably the next day or 2 days later.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's cool. I'm so glad, Green Bay, that you're downtown Green Bay. Or we can always call just 920-437-9024. Get your tickets, $15. I mean, come on. This is great.
Extremely reasonable.
Your friends, your dad, your mother. I mean, this is just a very cool thing to see. And thanks for bringing this, Daryl. I mean, this is cool stuff for Green Bay. And I'm with Johnny. I'm a little bit interested in what you're going to do for the NFL draft with 400,000 people. So you don't have to tell us now, but we're going to have you back a couple times.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. We're working very closely with Discover Green Bay. Obviously, the Packers and the NFL are coming up with some plans. So we fit very, very nicely into their plans for the draft next April.
Do you still Bart Starr's Corvette?
We do.
Yeah.
Okay. And that'll always be there, right?
I think that's going to be a pinnacle of what we do as well. But we're just happy to be involved, and we're so thrilled that it's coming to this area, because it's going to be one of those landmark events that this community is going to look back on for many years.
You know what I could have donated for you guys?
What's that?
Much along the same lines, Lynn Dickey's old Buick that I bought from him.
Yeah, that, boy, what a draw that would be.
Yellow, remember?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, that has an Italian heritage of some sort. There was an Italian sandwich eaten in it once or something
like
that.
And I bought it 4 months after I bought it, the engine blows. I call him, I said, hey, Lynn, you know that car? I bought it. Yeah, how's it going, John, boy? I go, the engine blew. He goes, ha! Man, am I glad I got rid of that one I did. True story. Daryl Burnett, thanks for being here. You run a great place, man, at the Automobile Museum. This weekend, Festa Italiana on Saturday. It sounds phenomenal. Back after this.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Jeff Levering and wife Ashley love their patio door from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
It's so bright, it's so clear. I can see the kids outside playing, and it makes it comfortable for the life we live.
I love the roll screen. The fact that the screen is on the inside and no drafts, it's a game changer.
Right now, get 0% interest-free financing for up to 48 months when you order by May 31st. Set your free in-home consultation at PellaWI.com.
Certain restrictions apply. That's 531-2024.
Small business owners, we know finishing your to-do list can feel like rowing upstream, but it's a river, a whitewater river, and the only paddles you have are pool noodles. Then when a new to-do pops up, you're like, nope, I'm already rowing upstream with these pool noodle paddles. At Progressive, we don't want to make your day any harder. That's why we make it easy to get personalized discounts with a commercial auto insurance quote online, so your to-do list is smooth sailing. See if you can save on commercial auto insurance in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverages and discounts not available in all states and subject to policy terms and underwriting.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey, welcome back. Mine on Mary here on Monday morning. That was fun. Boy, does Daryl know his cars.
That is, and what a great event for, you know, Green Bay. That's a huge city, but to bring in, you know, this is not going to happen again.
That's awesome.
And these $70 million worth of Italian cars.
Yeah.
That is going to be fun. That's a great event. And like I said, I just think everybody.
And thing is, if I donated mine, it'd be $70,001,000.
Yeah, right.
That's, worth of Italian cars. Right, Todd?
I love that Lynn Dickey story, man.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely.
What a guy. Good friend to say that.
I mean, it was exactly, it went just like that. Hey, Lynn, Mino here. Hey, John, boy, how's it going in Green Bay? Good. You know that car I bought from you?
What did you buy again? A Buick?
Buick. Yeah. Four-door, bright yellow, exact same color as the highlighter that Todd has there.
That says our cheese yellow with apple pie is 50-50.
Exact same
very
color.
Cool. Okay, same color. Right.
And I'm like, yeah. You're like, yeah, how you doing with that thing? I go, well, the engine blew, and I need a new engine. Mm-hmm. Man, am I glad I got rid of that thing when I did, huh? Wow. What else is going on?
He didn't offer $500 or anything to help you out?
No.
Wow.
Yep.
Good friend. Yeah. What a good friend.
Good buddy, Lynn. Yeah. So there you go. But, right. Oh, well. Everybody we had on today is more interesting than us.
We say that all the time, but that's because it's true.
Brittany's more interesting than us. Watched the Northern Lights. She knew what to do. She could tell you how strong they were, whatever.
Right.
Peter and Tracy, we're biking to New York City. You guys can't even bike down the block.
Right.
Daryl's $70 million worth of cars he's bringing in.
This Saturday.
What do we got going? Nothing.
And then we got this.
Nothing.
What, this Caribbean Taste thing coming up?
Yeah, we got Caribbean Tasting coming up. Man, that sounds good.
See what they got going on?
Big fan of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, John. We got a lot of work to do.
But
we're young.
A lot of work to do.
We're young. We can still do it.
No, we're not young. That's the thing. We're not young.
Yeah, I think you're young. It's okay.
But we're not young. So,
I wish I wasn't. I have to go to a wedding in Fonda. I would love
to. You have a lot of weddings.
I do.
Have a lot of weddings.
Six of them this year.
All right.
I mean, it's great. And weddings are great. They sure beat funerals. So you get to see all your friends. And I'm excited about it. But I take pictures when you're there, Johnny. I want to see that that $1 million Lamborghini.
More than a million.
No, the Fiat.
You ever ridden in one of those?
Have I ridden in a Lamborghini?
I've never ridden in like a really super hot car. I never have.
Well, yeah.
I did a Corvette thing one time, but everybody can have a Corvette.
Yeah, that's not a fancy Everybody's got those.
Do they still make vets?
I think I was just actually reading.
Yes, I think they
that
do.
They ended it.
Oh, did
like
they?
Last year, right?
Okay,
I didn't double check.
That Corvette Club's big in Green Bay.
Huge, and that's what it was. We got to drive down to Road America and take two laps.
Right, and I'm sure you spoke at their event. They had it. Well, it used to be at that place that's now a chicken place. They'd have a banquet.
Know. Okay,
spot.
Oh, the spot.
But separate
Wally
club.
Spot.
Yeah, they've okay. had, and I don't know. It wasn't.
Yeah,
statewide. It was just a Green Bay Corvette Club, but yeah, that was always a good event. I enjoyed going to that. I mean, I just think that, you know, men and women, but boys especially grow up loving cars.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My dream was always the 67 GTO.
See, I
what
the,
was yours?
The Corvette 63.
Really?
So, yeah.
I still make the Corvettes. Guy. It was Camaro that went away.
Okay.
Oh, Camaro. Yep. Okay.
My neighbor across the street, older, maybe 10 years older than I was a kid, but he had a Corvette. I just thought he was just the guy. It was awesome. He had a couple of them too. Yeah. Corvettes were, I don't know if I'd buy one now. Now I like a little different car, but yeah.
I don't like stuff that's kind of small
right.
and confining.
That's me too.
You know what I mean? And you feel like you're almost riding right in the ground with that. I like something where you're up a little bit
Did
higher.
At the gallery, when you walk in, you know, and Red Lewis has a lot of red cars when you just are in the foyer. But when you go in that Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
That's that I would love. A Bentley or a Rolls Royce.
Really? See, I'm more into American cars in that way. What's it, folks, tell me something. Your dream car, what would it be? Without it being a $70 million whatever.
Well, no.
What would it be? Give me a year and a make of a type of car you'd like. Like those Camaros. Todd just mentioned the Camaros. Those Camaros in the late 60s, mid 60s, 67, 68, 69. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I loved the Firebirds. Do you remember the Firebirds? Pontiac.
Yeah.
I'm a big Pontiac guy.
Camaro. But you know,
you had a Camaro?
No. I said that's Firebird. I would put that in the same class
as a pretty much. But it's a little bit more sleek, remember?
Right. But I had that Dodge Super B. I told you that guy texted me and said that they're selling for like, what did I tell you, $70,000?
That's unbelievable.
And yeah,
what did you ever do with it?
You know what? My dad bought it, so I think he, when I went to college, I didn't need
sold it.
So, yeah. I don't know what he did with it.
Your dad bought it for you?
Yeah.
Like, from what, graduate from high school or something?
No, because I needed a car.
But he couldn't buy you, like, just a nice little duster? You know what I mean? A little something?
But you, those aren't safe. Pinto, that's no. Those.
All right.
No, he was looking out for my safety.
Oh, is that what he was?
I don't know.
Wow.
He got a deal.
Quick poll. Favorite car of all time. Mine's right. 67 GTO. What's yours?
Yeah, I'm going to go. Well, if you're not going to go with the Bentley or the Rolls, I would take 63 Corvette.
Okay.
Is that the first? That's pretty new. I just know that my neighbor had that, and I was in awe of this guy, and he was the coolest guy in the city by far.
Well, everybody had a Corvette had to think they were pretty cool.
They did.
I mean, no disrespect, but they, yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a chick magnet. Yeah, he was the guy.
Were they?
Oh, I think so.
I don't know. Ladies, yes or no? Corvettes back in the day, chick magnets, yes or no?
Oh, come on, John.
I think sometimes the women thought the guys thought they were pretty. If they drove a Corvette, that the women thought the guys thought they were pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's what I think. That's
so
my opinion.
I talked about it. I said
ladies,
this once
help
before,
us out on this one.
I went to school at St. Norbert, got my degree in marketing, and one of our higher level classes was taught by Professor Darg, and he died. I love that guy. He was just, and there's a whole scholarship named after him. But I just remember he was very critical, not critical, but he just pointed out the obvious, you know, when there's, you know, alcohol, the subliminal pictures in the ice, you know, like when you. You know, when they're a magazine, and if you look at the whatever it is, Johnny Walker, and you look at the ice, and there's something in there.
Subliminal perception, or
right.
whatever it's called.
And obviously, well, we all know a Corvette's nothing more than a penis on wheels.
So he would say that
all the time. That was his thing.
Really? Yeah.
Okay. Attention, Todd. That's promo material there.
That's what he said. So I was like, I remember that.
That one ranks right up there with when I buy lingerie, it's certainly not from Goodwill.
Walmart.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Sure, but anyway, yes.
Do cars impress women?
Yes.
I don't know.
Oh, God, John. No, I'm talking about not today.
I think guys might think cars impress
16,
women
17,
more
18,
than they really
19,
do.
Oh, when you're in high
I
school.
Don't think so.
Really? You're going to pick her up in a Gremlin or in a Camaro? Give me a break.
What's wrong with a Camaro?
Nothing. I'm saying a Gremlin.
Oh, a Gremlin versus a Camaro.
She's going to go out with the guy with the Camaro. Even though he might be a little bit shorter, she's, you know.
Ladies, help me out on this
That's
one.
That's true, John.
Do cars impress you, yes or no?
Did they when you were in high school? Not today.
Even now.
Women don't care about cars now. Because anybody can afford anybody can lease a Mercedes, a Lamborghini. I mean, a Lamborghini. Anybody can lease a car now.
I don't know.
That's not it.
No, I think I'm going to win this one, too.
I don't think so.
All right. We got to take a quick break. My other mayor back after this.
It's you. Get into my car.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Wisconsin comedian Rob Breckenridge joins me in studio for some laughs, and we discuss World Cocktail Day with an expert Wisconsin bartender.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. What does cheese, beer, and you have to do with local radio?
I know. It's Todd Alba and the Trick V. Olsen's What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour.
To get out of your own little silo and just listen to folks, you find out Wisconsin is pretty darn great already.
It's great to be from Wisconsin, Todd. It's just such a fantastic place.
Miss them in your town, more visits, and your chance to connect coming up.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.